Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
What's up, everyone? We're really excited to be back with you this week for the second episode of our seventh season. Once again, this is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. And today on the podcast, this is sort of a long-awaited episode, but today we're going to take a look at music for the Sega Saturn.
Oh my gosh, I don't think I can remember another topic or focus in the world of video game music that so many people had emailed us, left comments, requested us to do, other than Sega Saturn. A lot of you guys out there...
Our hands were kind of tied with this one.
Yeah, a lot of you guys out there really want to hear this episode, so we're really excited to bring it to you. As you guys may know, this is not really our wheelhouse at all. We're kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to the Sega Saturn, but I think that will actually lend itself to be a really interesting and unique episode. Hopefully you guys will get a kick out of our take on this music, because it's definitely not something we grew up with.
Right.
Now, before we get into the music, let's just talk a little bit about the Sega Saturn. First of all, I want to thank all of the listeners who have suggested this episode and who have supplied really good picks with music over the years. There's a lot of people that for previous listener show and tells, a lot of their picks had been Saturn tracks that some of them we didn't include. So there's too many to thank, but the likes of Phil, Ed, Theo, there's just so many. I can't really think of all of them right now, but thanks to everybody for helping to make this episode possible. So the Sega Saturn, as you guys probably know, maybe some of you don't, was first released in Japan in actually 1994. It came out in November of 94. Isn't that crazy? And they were really pushing it to be released as soon as possible in the US. It was supposed to be September of 95, but there was this surprise launch in May of 95. And that was the first thing that led to the downfall of this system, is because so many retailers were apparently really pissed off because Sega didn't give them enough time in warning. So that was kind of the first of many things that happened that led to what, you know, a lot of people consider the Saturn to really be a commercial failure. And I think there's really no arguing with that. But it's a very unique system. Sound-wise, we have a lot of capabilities here. Obviously, as you guys know, we have the capability for Redbook audio, CD quality audio, and that pretty much is limitless possibilities. But if you're talking about hardware here, you have up to 32 sound channels combining FM synth and PCM sampling, 16-bit PCM sampling. So very similar to arcade cabinets at the time. What you guys heard playing in was Sega Rally Championship. I love that track. That's Desert Replay. Will, anything about that track you want to talk about before we jump into the rest of this playlist?
I think the only thing I'd say is that I really like that track being positioned at the beginning, because I do think it kind of gives us a taste of kind of the energy, I'd say, of this episode. I think we're going to have some good tracks with some up-tempo energy. But in general, what I'd say about the Sega Saturn, and something that I'm excited for today's episode, is I think if you look at that console generation, mm-hmm. the Saturn is probably the system that Carl and I have overlooked most on the podcast.
I would say so, yeah.
And I'm very well aware that there's so many great soundtracks and a lot of beloved music. So I think today's episode is going to be sort of a relief for those of you that have really been waiting to hear some of this stuff.
Yeah, there probably won't be a second volume, just letting you guys know, but I hope you guys enjoy this volume of awesome Sega Saturn music. A lot of it we have never heard before. There is a lot of Sega Saturn music that I've been familiar with since before the inception of this podcast. I remember on our very second show and tell episode, I remember showing a couple really cool Saturn soundtracks, and those you may see appearances of those later today. But anyway, let's get the ball rolling here. I think today is going to be a really representative look at the music of Sega Saturn. I think if you're a really big fan of Sega Saturn, I think you're really going to approve our playlist. Obviously, you can't have everything, so there may be a couple things that you might be missing, but I think you guys are going to be pretty happy with this playlist. Let's start things off with a game called Mysteria, The Realms of Lore. Never heard of this game. This was composed by Yoshihara Arita, and I believe it's an RPG. We're going to play a track called The Battlefield in the Deep Forest. We'll be right back. That's a catchy little riff you got there. This is The Battlefield in the Deep Forest by Yoshihara Arita from Mysteria, The Realms of Lore. A couple other titles, I believe in North America, Blazing Heroes. In Japan, it was called Riglord Saga. But yeah, this is a cool track. Will, what are your thoughts on this one?
I really like the choice of instruments.
Yeah.
It's kind of that classic video game eclectic ensemble sound.
Sounds like samples here.
Right.
Most likely using the hardware of the Saturn. Now, obviously, you know, I just want to make another disclaimer. We are not experts by any means of the sound of the Sega Saturn. So I know that there are some tracks today that use CD audio, and I know there are some that don't. As far as which specific tracks, I'm not exactly positive. I would assume this is using the hardware.
Well, and maybe that's sort of a good thing.
You know,
I think that shows kind of how powerful sound chips were, to the point that, you know, you can't really tell the difference between samples, and you can't really tell the difference between, you know, CD audio and the chip.
Well, it's so interesting. I think one of the reasons for that is a lot, you know, when we say CD audio, it pretty much means anything you want to do, anything you want to record. And a lot of times in this era, a lot of these composers were using kind of synthy sounds and electronic sounds that, even if it was CD audio, it would sound a lot like this as far as the synthesizers they were using,
right,
and stuff. You know, the
I love that riff. Da, 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 dun, dun,
it's great.
That's very catchy.
Absolutely. Yeah, but obviously the biggest, the most popular use of CD audio on the Saturn would be live orchestras. And that is kind of what we're going to get into next. So let's play a track from Grandia. Oh, this is such a great soundtrack by one of my favorite video game composers, an absolute legend. This is Noriyuki Iwadare. And of course, Grandia, we're going to play the theme of Grandia, the main theme. Such a great piece of music. Let's take a listen. A fun track. This really kind of reminds me of 70s film score, because you have the combination of orchestral but also kind of disco. It's something you'd hear a lot in movies in that era. It's really, really fun. This is the theme of Grandia, composed by the wonderful Noriyuki Iwadare. And yeah, I have to say that what I love about this era of orchestral video game music, it's the dawn of orchestral video game music, is you really have a lot of great melodic, fun, catchy stuff. It doesn't necessarily, at least this track, doesn't necessarily sound like something you'd hear in 2015, does it, Will?
Well, because I think a lot of the contemporary music, and this is something we actually touched on a little bit last week, but
yeah,
I think it requires a little bit more interaction between the developers and the composer. And even though, you know, the Saturn was able to have CD quality audio, to be able to have, you know, music with the layers of sound, that's something that's really popular now, you know, having different channels fade in and out and stuff. I don't think they were quite at that level of musical integration, so I think you did kind of hear more, you know, sweeping themes and
traditional,
which is
kind of good,
kind of orchestral stuff. Yeah, it's great musically.
On a listening sense, you know, like, guys, we're just going to be talking about music today because, again, as you know, we haven't played any of these games. We never had a set. There's one game on today's playlist I've played, but it was the Genesis version. There were a couple games that, you know, were Genesis games that they ported to the Saturn. I would say the bulk, honestly, of the Saturn's library did consist of arcade ports. ports of really successful arcade games, because that was kind of one of the bragging rights of the Saturn, is, oh, you can bring the arcade experience to your living room. So yeah, I'm sure this is a good game. I think it's a pretty well-known series, Grandia RPG games here.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the mix of piano and orchestra also. Mm-hmm. There's something, I guess, a little bit kind of corny whenever you have that mix. I think it can be done right, but it definitely, it does remind me of, you know, older film music.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's a significant level of camp in this soundtrack, but it's smile-inducing. I really like it. Now we're going to move on to, I believe, one of the final games to be released on the Saturn for North America. You know, as you guys may have known, the Saturn was abandoned, and there's pretty much a year, at least a year, if you lived in North America, where you had really no Sega games until the Dreamcast came out. So I think this was near the tail end, if I'm not mistaken, of the Saturn. This is Magic Knight Rayearth, and this was composed by Yayoi Wachi and Sairo Okamoto, and we're going to play a really funky track. We're actually going to play two tracks from this today, but this one we're going to start off with is really funky. And this was a pick, I can't remember who exactly first showed this to us, but I think there's a couple people on Twitter, a couple listeners of ours that showed us this track.
Cool.
Really cool stuff. Tokyo Tower. Funky stuff. You guys are listening to Tokyo Tower from the game Magic Knight Rayearth by Yayoi Wachi and Sairo Okamoto. Yeah, wow, this is groovy. Yeah, again, you're hearing the really cool combination of FM synth instruments as well as the sample instruments, and that really combination reminds me of something like the Neo Geo or something like the arcade, you know? It's something that it feels more advanced than the generation before it. But it definitely feels kind of like stuck in the mid-90s.
This really sounds like Sega.
It really does sound like Sega. I wonder why.
Not only sort of those two FM channels that we're kind of hearing, but in general, like the influence from a lot of 80s, early 90s kind of pop music.
Yeah, what's interesting, you hear the Saturn from a technical level, in some ways you'd be like, oh my gosh, possibilities are endless. This could have some of the best video game music of all time. But what I think is so interesting is so many of the composers, the fact that they have kind of more room to stretch, kind of flex their muscles, in some ways what they do is they kind of just take a deep breath and make music that's a little bit more wandering and kind of relaxed. Not saying it's better or worse, but it's not quite as active or busy, at least this is a good example, of something you'd hear on the Genesis. It kind of is a little bit more laid back, and it's just kind of comfortable, I guess I would say, which is interesting.
I think that's fair. I do also think, to me, something that really reminds me of Sega is sort of almost a blind focus when it comes to being contemporary and being like hip. I think especially in the 90s, Sega put, you know, a huge amount of emphasis on staying relevant and being cool,
especially to the US.
Right. Definitely. Absolutely. I think that was a whole part of their marketing and just kind of their whole philosophy, really.
Well, and that was really what so much of the stress and the struggle was the disconnect between Japan and US as far as Sega goes.
And I think that's the thing that does tend to date either the games or the music or really any aspect about Sega when you kind of start to move into the Saturn Dreamcast era, where things just kind of don't hold up as far as the things that were trying to seem contemporary. Like, I feel like this is a track that's really trying to seem cool, and nowadays when you listen to it, I think it comes across as kind of quirky and a little bit cute.
Absolutely. No, cool stuff. Yeah, I gotta say, for the most part, pretty much every single track on today's playlist I'm a big fan of. So yeah, this was really fun hearing a lot of music I wasn't familiar with. And everywhere you go online, you start to see the same tracks and the same games represented as far as people's favorite Saturn music. So really, you know, this isn't just kind of our opinion. This is what most people would consider best of the best here. Now we're gonna play a track from Dragon Force. What's funny is I was actually familiar with the band before I was familiar with this game. My friend Mitch, my roommate freshman year of college, was really into Dragon Force. I am not into them at all. Kind of like a speed metal. Really, I think they're really obnoxious, actually. But anyway, I think their name came from this game, Dragon Force for the Sega Saturn, composed by, hey, Tatsuyuki Maeda, classic Sega composer, worked on Sonic, the Sonic series. Let's take a listen to a track called Battle for the Castle. That's interesting. I love how when that one section, the B section, got a little bit more sparse, you start to faintly hear the dun 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 dun, the bass coming back, and you know that you're about to come back to the loop again. This right. is Battle for the Castle from Dragon Force by the legendary Tatsuyuki Maeda. He's a composer that stuck with Sega, stuck with the Sonic series, actually well past the Saturn age. He did a lot of work for like Sonic Advance and even like modern Sonic games. But this is a talented composer. What do you think about this track?
I'm very interested in it. I think it's kind of interesting. Carl, do you think there's a reason why so many video game composers use that 12-8 kind of shuffle feel in a lot of tracks? More than almost anything else I can think of, it's a really kind of common little rhythmic.
Now that I think about it, the use is always for like a battle. It's always for something that's supposed to amp you up and to kind of keep it driving. The rhythm's supposed to keep this constant drive. And what is it about that 12-8 meter that lends itself to that? I mean, that's something we could almost have a whole episode on 12-8. You know, if we were a show like Train Station at 8, we could really focus on that. We could maybe like a bonus episode that might be an interesting thing to talk about. But what do you think it is about that meter? Why does this elicit those emotions for a battle piece?
Well, I think because it has almost that sense of swing, or the sense that when we kind of break it down, it almost sounds, you know, like it's sort of a compound meter, I guess you'd say, because you hear the strong beats 1, 2, 3, 4, and then within that you hear the smaller subdivisions 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1,
right.
2, 3. And usually you don't hear all those subdivisions. You end up hearing a da 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 da, and because it's a little bit late,
it always reminds me of riding a horse.
Yeah, there is that sensation of like horizontal movement in something where it's like, because the second beat or the weak beats are happening in such close succession to the strong beats, there is that sense of kind of asymmetry where it's always pulling you forward to the next thing, as opposed to being completely even. There is that forward nature about
it. We have a lot of really rocking and empowering pieces of music on today's playlist that are kind of similar in tone to that. But now we're going to move on to something very different. This is a really happy-go-lucky, cutesy piece of music. It's from the game Twinbee Yahoo, with an exclamation point after that. This is composed by the Konami Kakaya Club. We're going to take a listen to Stage 1. We'll be right back. fun. You guys are listening to Stage 1 from Twinbee Yahoo, composed by the Konami Kakaya Club for the Sega Saturn. This is really fun. This is very different than anything we've heard so far. Kind of reminds me more of Nintendo music. You'll get that with a lot of these Saturn soundtracks where it's like, oh, this kind of sounds like Super Nintendo music at a slightly higher fidelity, and that's definitely common for the Saturn as well. The couple reactions that I had when I was listening to all this music for the Saturn scouring through is I had a lot of times I was like, oh, this reminds me of Super Nintendo. Probably the most times I was like, oh, this reminds me of like Sega arcade music, or this reminds me of Genesis. And then every once in a while I was like, wow, this is just like great video game music.
Yeah, this one really kind of indulges in those feel-good chord progressions and lot of those really kind of syrupy moments. My only concern with it is I feel like the melody is a little bit too all over the place. Like, it's not really earning some of those moments emotionally. But it's clear that the composer clearly has an understanding of jazz and pop harmony.
It kind of feels like the composer is maybe kind of shoehorning those feel-good moments in without necessarily telling a story. I know what you're saying. It kind of
well,
just
there
feels
could be
like
sort of an exhaustion on the part of, you know, writing so much music for video games. If this is a composer who has a lot of experience, maybe it's hard to kind of retread some of the same harmonic territory and come up with new, simple, catchy melodies.
And that's what's happening here. You're right. It does kind of feel like I've already heard this melody 20 times before. It's still a fun piece of music. It's still effective. I'm glad we still played it. On the playlist, it has a really interesting role, so I'm glad we got to include that. Now we're going to move on to one of the soundtracks that I was first familiar with the Sega Saturn a long time ago. On our Show and Tell 2, I played a beautiful track from this. We're going to play something we haven't played because there's so many cool tracks in the soundtrack, so we don't just want to only play the stuff we've played before. This is Albert Odyssey Gaiden, composed by the legendary Sunsoft composer Naoki Kadaka. This is a Sunsoft game for the Saturn.
Well, legendary to us on this podcast.
Legendary to video game music fans, I would say, which is definitely kind of a niche. But this is a track called Misterioso, and it's really cool. Take a listen to the... I want you guys to brace yourself for an interesting meter and just a lot of kind of interesting musical techniques to give you a very specific emotion. This kind of... To me, I haven't played the game, but it kind of feels like I'm in a cave and I have to watch my step around each corner. So let's take a listen to Misterioso from Albert Odyssey Gaiden.
This is Mysterios from Albert Odyssey Gaiden, composed by the wonderful Naoki Kadaka.
Whew, that's cool.
I really love the melody in this one, and I think it's a great kind of assignment for instrument, having it be that oboe. I think it suits the oboe's range really well, which the oboe is kind of a tricky instrument because in its higher and lower registers, it almost lacks control for dynamics. So I think this is really in a great range, and it also, some of those rhythms, I think they work really well on that instrument because you can kind of hear, you know, the fingers moving and the holes opening, closed.
Well, what I think is cool is by the way, this soundtrack features a lot of great real instruments. It's never full orchestra. It's always like a few really nice solo instruments mixed with kind of sequenced fake instruments. And again, this era, the instruments, kind of the plugins that these composers would be using at this time, the virtual instruments kind of are a general MIDI quality. So it really kind of feels cohesive whether or not you're going for 100% sample channel or if it's actually just the performance of a keyboard mixed with real performance. It really kind of blends together in a nice way. I think what's so interesting is how they were so excited to use reverb, and they just douse so much of this whole generation in reverb. When you hear so many of these kind of real CD audio tracks, there's so much wetness in delay and reverb.
I do think that is, there's a little bit of a taste thing there, and there's a little bit of kind of, that was trendy, and that was a way of feeling advanced at that point. And now I think currently we've grown a little bit of exhausted with that sound, so I think dryness is kind of more coveted. I actually really love the idea of having one solo instrument that's, you know, an actual performer and everything
else too.
Be sequenced. I think it's much better to have that than to have a handful of tracks that are like full orchestra and everything else kind of synthesized. This way it's kind of like you're breaking it up between all the tracks, and it almost feels more intentional. You know, it's almost like that oboe is the soloist and the accompanying band is intentionally using these MIDI instruments. It almost feels more like a choice. Like if you hear a pop song of that era, oftentimes they would use synthesizers, they would use kind of fake instruments to accompany, you know, the vocalist, and their voices would be doused in reverb. So in many ways, production wise it reminds me of that kind of style.
Yeah, anyone who's not a fan, not familiar with Sega Saturn music, I will say this will be my first shout out today. Check out this whole soundtrack, Albert Odyssey Gaiden. It's absolutely great. You will really, really enjoy it.
That's my favorite track we've played so far.
Yeah, me too. So now we're going to move on to S-Doll. This was once again composed by Tatsuyuki Maeda. This guy did a lot of great work on this system. We're going to play a track. This one is called The Journey Begins. You guys are listening to The Journey Begins from S-Doll, composed by Tatsuyuki Maeda. Yeah, and even here, obviously you're hearing kind of sequenced synth string sounds, but there's still so much reverb on this. And again, the purpose of that in 1995 or what, 6 or whenever this came out, is to try to make it sound a little bit more realistic, try to mask the fakeness of these sounds. But, you know, enough about the technical side. Musically, this composer loves those successive modulations, kind of using the Picardy third, doing the flat 6 and 7. He did the same technique on the previous track we played from Dragon Force. He does it a lot in his Genesis music, but it's something that just really feels, you know, right at home in a video game.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting when you look at video game harmony, because I think there are a lot of things that kind of film music harmony where, you know, it's borrowing from rock music or pop music. In general, I'd say kind of the influence of guitar music in that kind of sensibility where what makes something easier to play isn't what's always most natural. Like on a piano, for instance, you're probably going to choose to, if you're a relatively unskilled pianist, you're going to probably choose to stay in the key that you're in. But when you play guitar, sometimes you'll be drawn to a chord that's simpler to play and maybe
you're not really thinking of keys in the same way.
But I think the implications is that a lot of rock and pop music sort of introduced this new kind of sense of borrowed chords.
Yeah.
And that found its way into film music. And also, it found its way into video game music, maybe through a different avenue, because I think game music draws more influence on pop music. But, you know, this is sort of the time when we're starting to see all the integration between film music, video game music, pop music. It's all kind of coming together a little bit.
Melting pot, absolutely. Cool track, cool soundtrack. I'm a really big fan of Tatsuyuki Mita. I think that's the last track we'll have from him today. Now we're going to move on to Guardian Heroes, another solid choice, another choice that I kept seeing pop up all over the internet. A lot of people are a fan of this soundtrack. Let's see the composers here. We have a few. We have Hideki Matsutake, Nazo Suzuki, and Norio Hanzawa. I know that name from Gunstar Heroes for the Genesis. We're going to play a cool track called Rough and Lady from Guardian Heroes. Was Rough and Lady from Guardian Heroes, composed by a lot of talented composers. Once again, for the Sega Saturn, as well as every track you're hearing today, was for this really tragic system in the mid-90s. One other thing that led to the downfall is there was not an original 3D Sonic game. Everyone was waiting for it. It was being developed. It was called Sonic Extreme. It was being developed by US Studio, and apparently when Sega of Japan went over and looked at the progress of the game, they were not happy, and they told them to start all over. And the workers were so overworked that a lot of them quit or got sick, and the game was canceled. So that could have really changed
things.
Well,
there was Sonic Jam. Sonic Jam did come out.
There was Sonic Jam. Yeah, let's talk about Sonic Jam.
That's not a good... Yeah,
that doesn't even count. I think a lot of people don't count that. But yeah.
Well, there was Sonic R, Super Sonic Racing.
Yeah. But I still don't think that comes in the main series.
Oh,
Will,
no.
Why do you think, obviously this is probably bad translation, Rough and Lady, but is there any way we can try to think about the music and why this track would be called Rough and Lady, or do we just want to talk about the music?
Yeah, let's just talk about the music, how about?
Let's just talk about the word lady, you know? I know, Will, this is something we've been familiar with this piece for a couple years. We included it in a little interlude in our history of video game music. But what did you like about this piece back then, and what do you like about it now?
I like it for as soon as it starts. I think that opening riff is the best thing about... It's really catchy. It's very appealing, and it has just kind of the right rhythmic push and pull. I think a lot of that has to do with... Because when you think about rhythms, it is kind of successive eighth notes, but the way it's performed has sort of a subtlety on which notes are accented, and there's something really compelling about that. I'd say that's probably my favorite thing about the track.
I like when the brass comes in. It's pretty cool. A little bit cheesy, but it just feels like video game music. One thing interesting is this version I found actually is shorter than a lot of other versions. There's some versions where it starts, there's this whole other section in the beginning, which honestly isn't quite as good until it gets to this section. And this was a version I found where it just started off right here. It kind of starts with the best section. So a little bit of a disclaimer there. Now we're going to move on to the work of Hitoshi Sakimoto. Nice to include him on this playlist. This is Radiant Silver Gun, really one of the most well-loved soundtracks that I've seen this past week. You know, again, definitely not an expert on the system, but from what I've seen, so many people are interested in the soundtrack. So yeah, let's play a track from it. This is a track called Debris from Radiant Silver Gun. You're listening to Debris from Radiant Silvergun, composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto. Very Sakimoto-esque, especially in this era. You know, if you guys aren't familiar, he did Ogre Battle 64. He did Final Fantasy Tactics, a lot of great orchestral scores in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, I guess. To be brutally honest, I'm not really the biggest fan of this soundtrack. It doesn't necessarily do much for me, but I included it because it's so well-loved. It's so popular. So many people that really like it. Will, is there anything that resonated with you as far as just this track that we're sharing today?
I really like the parallel harmony with the chords. It really reminds me of Super Mario Galaxy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that that is this kind of this darkness, but also there's some sort of magic in it that I find really appealing.
For me, it was mostly this French horn line right here. Something about it just feels a little bit random and kind of all over the place. And I think the implementation, to me, felt a little bit lazy. That's just my personal opinion. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I will say overall, the track definitely works, and it would definitely be effective in the game. And yeah, I'm glad we got to include that today.
Well, I think sometimes chaotic melodies are useful and have a purpose in the story and have function. I mean, I don't really think there's any kind of thing off limits when you're making music for an experience, as long as it scores what's happening on the screen.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a time and place for that. For me, it was mostly just the presentation of this track, kind of the total package, how it was put together. Something about it, it didn't necessarily impress me. And I did listen to a bunch of tracks off this soundtrack, and there really wasn't anything that stood out. Again, that's just my personal opinion. I know there's a lot of people that love this soundtrack. And yeah, I mean, Radiant Silvergun, you have to include it when you're talking about Sega Saturn. It's absolutely well-loved. So let's move on to another soundtrack that a lot of people are a big fan of. This is composed again by Noriyuki Iwadare, absolutely classic composer here. This is the series Lunar. Will, are you familiar with the Lunar series at all? RPGs again. This game is called Lunar Eternal Blue Complete. I think there was the original Eternal Blue came out for, it may have been Sega CD or something, but...
And it was incomplete.
Eternal Blue Complete came out for the Saturn. This track is really pretty. It's called Holding On, Lemina's Theme. You guys are listening to Holding On, Lemina's Theme from Lunar Eternal Blue Complete, composed by Noriyuki Iwadare. One thing is so funny is the previous track we played today was that beautiful orchestral track from Grandia.
Oh, Grandia, yeah.
And I think that's what Will was expecting when we started playing this. He's like, wow, this is not what I was expecting. It's pretty bright, pretty cheesy stuff, but it's fun.
Really
it makes
cute
me smile.
Little melody. That melody
good
has
melody.
A lot of personality. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. That's great. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's presented in a very kind of saccharine way, which is fine, and I want to embrace that stuff as much
yes,
as possible,
yes.
But it is kind of hard to
in
take
general,
seriously.
That was kind of my mantra this past week, is I'm just trying to roll with it. I'm trying to go with it. We're not preparing a normal episode that we would. We're going out of our way to try to include something that is a little bit of a blind spot for us. So I wanted to, you know, for example, Radiant Silvergun, I wanted to include that. Despite maybe my personal prejudice or my personal taste, I really wanted to include stuff that, you know, is a fair representation of the system. So with that said, I think we're going to move on to a soundtrack that I actually really, really like and I've liked for a long time. This is The Lost World Jurassic Park by Michael Giacchino.
Ooh, one of the best.
So, so good. Again, this, as well as a lot of games on today's playlist, these aren't Saturn exclusives, you know. This came out for the PlayStation as well, maybe even like the PC. We have, you know, we have some Saturn exclusives today, but, you know, I would say the bulk of the games released were ports of arcade games or games that were also released on the PlayStation in a lot of ways. So this is Lost World. This track is called Isle of Giants. You guys are listening to Isle of Giants from The Lost World for the Sega Saturn, composed by the wonderful Michael Giacchino. This is great orchestral video game music.
Great use of all the different sections in the orchestra.
Yeah, this is one of the first soundtracks ever in video game history to be recorded with the full orchestra, as far as like the full soundtrack.
We can thank Steven Spielberg for that.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to move on to a good example of kind of incorporating that FM synth, because it's something you don't hear, in my opinion, often enough on the Saturn, especially now that I know that that was something that was built into the hardware, was they did have, you know, FM synth ability. So it's cool to hear that a little bit. We heard it in a couple tracks earlier, but this is pretty much all FM. Really sounds classic. This game is called Power Drift, composed by an absolutely classic arcade Sega composer, Hiroshi Kawaguchi. You can't get better than Kawaguchi. Man, he did some of my absolute favorite arcade music ever. This is a track called Like the Wind, also known as B Course from Power Drift. You guys are listening to Like the Wind, B Course from Power Drift, composed by the legendary Hiroshi Kawaguchi. This is so cool. If you guys aren't familiar with this composer, just a couple of the things he's worked on, it's insane. Hang On, Space Harrier, Alex Kidd, Outrun, Fantasy Zone, Afterburner 1 and 2, Outrunners, Turbo Outrun, Sword of Vermillion, Rent-A-Hero. Oh my gosh, this guy is just pretty much all you have to talk about when you're talking about Sega arcade music. Absolutely a legend. Well, what do you think about this track as far as, you know, the context of today's episode? We're hearing a lot of diversity, a lot of different kinds of music. What do you think about this?
I guess it's sort of a nice change of pace. I really like the melody. It has that great kind of poppy quality to it. Very simple, but incredibly hooky, both through the use of the rhythms and the restrained nature of the pitches that are explored, which I really like. And I also think it's nice kind of having a chip sound to it, you know, It has that sort of FM quality to it, but that lead instrument almost sounds like a square lead. So it definitely feels like it's really trying to do like a throwback to older game music.
Yeah, and again, since this was an arcade game as well, again, I don't know, maybe this was technically CD audio and he was just kind of ripping the arcade soundtrack, or was this actually using the FM? Again, I have no idea, but all I know is that I like the track and it makes me happy. So now we're going to move on to the next game. I'm really glad this was the latest addition to this playlist. I actually added this very, very late last night. I already Dropboxed Will the entire playlist, and I was like, oh wait, no, I had one more to add, and I'm so glad. This is by one of my favorite video game composers, Kohei Tanaka. He got his start in video games in the Sakura Taisen, also known as Sakura Wars, series of games in anime. This is a track called Try Your Best. Wonderful series. You guys should check out everything Sakura Taisen. It's just absolutely great. Kohei Tanaka, just he never phones it in. This is a cool track, Try Your Best. What a wonderful piece of music. You guys are listening to Try Your Best, composed by Kohei Tanaka. Such a G from Sakura Taisen. Love it.
Yeah, he has such a good melodic gift and such a perfect fit for video games, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to hear what he even does in the future because, I mean, that Gravity Rush is one of my favorite soundtracks in recent memory.
Yeah, in a few weeks, guys, we'll be doing our spotlight on that, so fear not. It's going to be, oh my gosh, am I excited for that episode. Guys, it's really exciting. The time has come in this episode for our track of the week. This is a really kind of a no-brainer as far as if we were going to talk about what was the game that was maybe the most resonated, maybe the most critically acclaimed soundtrack, everything. It has to be Nights into Dreams, right? This is something that I think really, really early on in our podcast, really one of the first kind of suggestions on a track level was from this game, not to mention the first Saturn suggestion, just in general, the first video game music suggestion. A lot of people are interested in this soundtrack. We've played a couple tracks from it before. I'm a big fan of it. The composers here are Naofumi Hitaya, Tomoko Sasaki, and Fumi Kumitani. A lot of sonic talent there. We're going to play the main theme. This is Nights from Nights into Dreams. It's this week's track of the week. Enjoy.
Thank you.
This is beautiful. You guys are listening to Nights from Nights into Dreams for the Sega Saturn, composed by Naofumi Hataya, Tamako Sasaki, and Fumi Kumitani. This game comes from the mind of Sonic, Yuji Naka, and actually one thing interesting is he wouldn't let the American development team that was working on Sonic Extreme, he wouldn't let them use the engine of this game, which probably would have led to a great Sonic game, which is interesting. He kind of was really protective of it, but this is a great game and a great soundtrack. I'm so glad we get to talk about it more today, and obviously today, you know, we can't have an episode on Saturn and not talk about this soundtrack. Well, let's just talk about this track, though. First of all, I think this is a really interesting use of a really small melodic kernel and kind of just expanding it and kind of evolving it throughout the whole piece. What do you think about this track?
Well, I think it's a very sophisticated piece. Its use of the different families of the orchestra is really nice. This is also another one that includes piano, but obviously a much more subtle use of it. I really like piano is an instrument where in its low register it really has a lot of character, and it can actually blend kind of nicely with the orchestra. But yeah, some beautiful, very kind of dreamlike textures going on here musically.
And what I gotta say is, out of any soundtrack I've ever heard for the Sega Saturn, this is the one that feels the most cutting edge. It feels the most ahead of its time. The way that it was recorded, this definitely was the biggest budget orchestral recording for the Saturn. It sounds really nice and polished. It sounds like almost film score, and this is mid-90s or maybe late 90s. It's just crazy. It definitely doesn't sound like kind of lost in the 90s as a lot of the soundtracks we're hearing today. This feels almost like it could come out nowadays and it would still be great, still be effective. So I don't know. I just think this is a really great job they did.
Well, it actually reminds me a lot of kind of any kind of contemporary Japanese or Chinese classical music, where it'll integrate kind of folk music qualities with sort of the Western sensibilities as far as orchestration and everything like that.
Right.
But it's absolutely just very, very, very lovely.
Cool stuff.
Beautiful.
Well, the next track, I put it side by side because this was my next choice for track of the week. I really couldn't not do a Knights track, though. I feel like I would be doing it a disservice because it's definitely more well-known than this. But this, I just have such a good time with this soundtrack. We're now going to move on to Burning Rangers. This was composed by Takanobu Mitsuyoshi and also Sol, which I believe is a vocalist. So I think a lot of the vocals you're hearing are performed by Sol. But this is the title track. It's called We Are Burning Rangers. It is so much fun. Let's take a listen. This is a love child of the 70s right here. It's so fun. Production is really good. I'm really impressed with the polished recording here. This is We Are Burning Rangers, composed by Takanobu Mitsuyoshi and Sol, really great rap, actually really kind of inventive wordplay.
I love that there's that part where he says giving nightmares like Wes Craven, and Wes Craven is the director of Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's really clever. Yeah, no, great rap, surprisingly, in this era of Sega music, to actually incorporate rap in a way that actually feels like legit. And not cringeworthy. This is really, really cool. And musically, though, the horns, the rhythm section playing, it's so funky, which is why I like it.
Just awesome.
The really, really goofy Japanese singer, though, it sounds like the same guy from Daytona. Do you think it is, Will?
Absolutely not. Oh, no. I think that dude from
Daytona.
I thought that dude was like an American guy.
Not sure, but feels like I've heard this guy in mid-90s Sega music before.
Oh, yeah, this is so much fun. Wow, what a great track.
Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, guys, now we're going to completely change things up here, and we're going to play a track from Shining Force 3, which is a very soft and tragic soundtrack. Composed by the very talented Motoi Sakuraba, we featured a track from this on his episode, which if you haven't listened to that, feel free to check that out. I believe that was last season. That was a good time. This is a track called The Flourishing Bud, once again from Shining Force 3. You guys are listening to The Flourishing Bud from Shining Force 3 by Motoi Sakuraba. Well, I think this is a nice time to catch up, talk about kind of what we've been up to, what's going on in our worlds in the past week. I'll start here. The first thing that's on my mind, that's kind of in the forefront of my mind, is not music related. It's definitely Better Call Saul. I just watched two episodes of that last night. I'm caught up. Oh my gosh, is that a phenomenal show. I was a little bit worried going into it, a little bit trepidatious, because Breaking Bad is my favorite show, and I was like, I know it's going to be different, but I just feel like I'll be disappointed, and I'm not disappointed. It's absolutely amazing.
And Bob Odenkirk, man. Bob frickin' Odenkirk. He's killing it so far. I'm so happy for him that he finally, you know, has this.
Yeah, we won't give any spoilers to anyone.
Oh,
who hasn't
seen
it.
Exclusively here to give spoilers.
But yeah, guys, if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, I guess if you're not, I would still say start with that. Don't just go into this. But yeah, if you like that show, you really gotta watch Better Call Saul. It's super, super good. So yeah, been watching that. I really have to get around to watching that SNL 40th anniversary. Haven't
so
seen it yet.
So awesome. One of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Oh, man. It just sounds amazing. I've just seen a little bit of, you know, snippets of it. But yeah, gotta check that out. Game-wise, I'm going back and I'm replaying Mario 64 and having an absolute ball with it. I'm still blown away by the game design. It came out in 96, like the first game of that system, and really the first like successful 3D platformer in a way, and it's just like still does things better than really every other 3D platformer. Like, it's insane. Like, I was playing the game and I noticed that like the camera system is actually pretty good. There's a couple different options. You have the Mario cam and the Lakitu cam, and I don't know, I just feel like it's actually less issues with that than there isn't even Sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, we've all played Mario 64, so I think we remember.
But I haven't played it for like 10 years, though, is what I'm saying. Like, it's been so long, and it still holds up. You know, like, I was expecting to go back to it. On the 64. I was expecting to go back to it and be like, oh, it just doesn't really hold up. I mean, as far as, like, the smoothness in things. But, yeah, it's still great today. I know, big news flash, right? Mario 64 is great. Everybody knows that. Yeah, just working on... guys, we're so excited. We're really making great progress on Hello World, which once again is our Mario World double album featuring inspirations from the first Mario World and Yoshi's Island. It's all made with SNES samples. Will, Marty, and myself are all involved in this project. It's going to come out sometime later this year, and we absolutely cannot wait to share this with you guys. We'll have a promo video that we'll be kind of uploading, you know, in the coming weeks for you guys to kind of check out the project and kind of learn maybe a little bit more about the inception behind it. But that is just really what I'm most excited about. Will, what about you?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of music writing lately. One of the classes that I'm taking in school is called Contrapuntal Techniques, and it's all about the study of 17th century counterpoint.
That's so badass.
So things like, you know, Pachelbel, a lot of Bach, things of that nature. But it's really, it's definitely a great learning experience. I'm learning a lot, and I'm also, you know, writing an orchestra piece. And
so basically, I think what you were alluding to is after this class, you'll be able to write some Castlevania music. Is that what you, is that kind of what you're getting at with this? No,
hopefully.
No,
I don't think I'm quite there yet.
Not quite there yet. Yeah, that's so funny. Your professor is Michiro Yamane. No,
no, but I'm really having a, I'm having a great time working on a lot of music. I've actually been very into Alan Menken lately. I get in kind of phases. So
yeah, you
I
do.
Get, I become obsessively kind of focused on one person or one composer or one style for a long period of time. And I've been really into Alan Menken because...
If anyone doesn't know listening to the show, Alan Menken is a legendary Disney composer who did Aladdin and Little Mermaid and pretty much everything.
You have to know this. I mean, he wrote your childhood, please. But the TV show Galavant, which was sort of a musical miniseries, recently came out. And I absolutely loved it and has great music by him. So I've been actually kind of trying to write some music in sort of a quasi Menken-y style lately.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Yeah. One last thing I wanted to give a shout out, because as far as musically goes, what I've been listening to pretty much every day at work, I really want to give a shout out to this wonderful funk band called Wolfpack. Wolf with a V. It's like the German way of saying wolf pack, I'm guessing. And it sounds, you know, the whole kind of joke of the band is that it sounds like they're German, but they're just, they're an American funk band. I think they're from Michigan. They might be based in LA now, but oh my gosh, if you guys like funk music, you really got to check these guys out. They're so cool. And they have such a great sense of humor in their music, in their videos. It's just this great combination of absolute goofballs, but just beasts on their instrument. And
well, and Soul Surgeons next weekend.
Yeah.
You have the CD.
Absolutely.
Release.
CD release show. It's going to be so cool. Again, the album comes out on the 27th of February. That is this Friday. This episode goes up Monday, the 23rd. So yeah, feel free. Well, you know, we'll post links once it's released, but I am very excited about that. Now I think it's time to move on to, we have a few more tracks to talk about today. Now we're going to play a track from the only game I've played, but I played the Genesis version, very similar to the Saturn version. This is Sonic 3D Blast, completely different soundtrack composed by Richard Jakes. This is one of my favorite tracks of the Saturn version, Special Stage from Sonic 3D Blast. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You guys are listening to Special Stage from Sonic 3D Blast, composed by Richard Jakes for the Sega Saturn. Again, really blown away with the implementation in 1996. This sounds better than a lot of stuff I would hear on the GameCube, that whole generation, really. Like, it reminds me of Mario Kart as far as, like, the really kind of shredding fast melodies. But the craft behind these melodies, I have to say, is more solid than anything in the GameCube era as far as Mario Kart goes.
It reminds me of the original Mario Kart. It especially reminds me of the GB Wayne. You know, that
one. And I gotta say, that comes from Richard's love, and I don't know this, but judging by this music, his love of jazz music. I know that he's really into electronic music and orchestra music, but he really nails jazz, big band jazz. This is a kind of a combination of big band jazz and I guess maybe a little bit of hip-hop as far as the drum beat. It's hard to say, but yeah, it's just video game music, and it's very, very active and well
done. Reminds me a little bit of Michael Jackson, honestly.
Sure. R&B, absolutely.
But yeah, Richard Jakes, he's a wonderful composer. I really enjoy, like, everything he does.
Yeah, and again, another person who it'd be a disservice to not have something from him on today's episode.
Does he follow us on Twitter? Because I remember kind of freaking out when that happened.
If he does, shout out to Richard. We should have him on the cast sometime, the old P-cast. Now we're going to move on. We have a couple tracks left. This is cool. This is Salamander 2. You guys know Salamander, also known as Life Force. This is the sequel. Again, an arcade port, originally for the arcade. Let's take a listen to a track called Silvery Wings Again. It's stage one, and it's composed by Naoki Maeda. Here we go. You guys are listening to Stage 1 from Salamander 2 for the Saturn, composed by Naoki Maeda, and this really kind of hits home what is so iconic about arcade music. For me, it's the very quick modulations that are so surprising, and in a lot of ways, they do stop the momentum of a melody, but you have to think about the use of arcade music, because when you're playing an arcade game, you may only be playing for 40 seconds, really. You know, the games are really hard, and it's such, like, kind of compact experiences that are trying to give you as much kind of excitement in a minute as possible. So really, when you have a lot of those modulations, like, listening to it, it's not necessarily something that I would agree with musically, but when I'm playing an arcade game, it's kind of this souped up excitement that I think works really well for that kind of a game. What do you think, Will?
Well, I do think the emotional implications of heavy modulation can be very effective if you're trying to kind of never let someone maintain their footing. What I like about it, it's not in a way that's kind of dissonant or meant to throw you or feels like exotic. It's just kind of more, there's always some excitement to it. There's always something new. It's constantly changing. There's that lack of feeling comfortable, which does kind of remind me of the experience
of
playing an arcade game where you're sort of on the spot. It's a little bit like being on stage.
It is. And what's funny is listening to this kind of music when I'm not doing anything, like right now I'm just sitting down, it feels like I should be doing something. Like, why am I not playing something? It's like, just to listen
to
this.
You're recording a podcast. What are you talking about?
I guess. No, it just feels like I should be, like, doing something more active when I'm listening to this music.
I guess you could do your taxes.
Oh,
tax season's coming up.
Please no. Please no. Now we're going to move on to the last track we'll talk about. So beautiful. And if anyone is disappointed or waiting, don't worry. We are going to include Panzer Dragoon. Maybe, I would say, just behind Knights into Dreams, probably the next best loved game and soundtrack for the Saturn. This is
You can go put your pitchforks back in the closet.
Yeah. This is Yoshitaka Azuma composed this one. We're going to play the staff role from Panzer Dragoon. We've already played a couple great pieces previously in our podcast, so feel free to check this whole soundtrack out. But this is the staff role. Here we go. Thank you. Well, thanks guys so much for joining us for our look at the music of the Sega Saturn. Again, it was a topic that we just haven't covered enough on this podcast, so we're so happy and excited to finally be able to dedicate a whole episode to this wonderful music that really we have not been familiar with. You know, there's a couple exceptions here and there, but a lot of this was brand new. I had a great time listening to this. Hopefully you guys did as well. We're really excited because, guys, we have some great episodes coming up, again, as we're starting off this seventh season. Next week, we have a fun episode. It's games based on movies. That's going to be really cool because when you think about the 90s, one of the things that I always think about is how many games they were cranking out based on movies. A lot of them had...
Most of them sucked.
Nothing to do with the actual plots. But hey, a lot of them had great music. So we'll be focusing on that next week. Once again, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We do have a donate button on our podcast page.
Yeah, if you want to give us free money, you can always just, you know, write a check to Super Mercado Brothers.
Yeah, we do have to pay for this podcast out of our own pocket as well as the sites for our website. So we'd really appreciate that.
That being said, even if we didn't have to do that, we'd still appreciate free money.
Yeah, no matter what, above anything else, free money is always good. So we're going to play you guys out with another track from Magic Knight Ray Earth. It's the main theme. Thanks a lot, guys. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. And if you also want to give us money, go buy our albums. Maybe that's a
better thing.
Yeah. Instead of donating to the podcast, just... Then that way you actually get something.
Donate to music. Donate to art. No. Whatever you do to support us, even if just listening to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. Have a great week, guys.
Peace out.